Welcome to this webinar from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a B2B marketer, and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of B2B marketing professionals and people interested in B2B marketing. It's run by B2B marketers for B2B marketers. We provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for B2B marketers. And today we have over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time that you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. This is the 9th week that we've been running these webinars on how B2B marketers are responding to the COVID-19 crisis. The macro trend impact so far has been huge. The UK economy has shrunk at the fastest pace since 2008, and the Chancellor's warning that it's very likely the UK is in a very significant recession. More people are seeking work. Unemployment numbers in the US have risen to levels not seen since the 1930s. In India, Narendra Modi has outlined financial support for farmers and small businesses hit by the virus shutdown. Elsewhere, there are signs that the Western world is relaxing lockdown. The European Union is proposing a gradual lifting of border controls to kickstart the tourist industry. Crowds have flocked to shopping centres as Australia comes out of lockdown. So how are our four speakers today seeing the impact of the crisis on them, their business, their projects, their working practices, jobs, marketing messages, marketing channels, and their profession? We'll hear from each of them shortly. As you listen, type a question or comment into the questions box, starting your point with the first name of the speaker that you'd like to address it. And I'll put your questions and comments to the speakers after we've heard from each. If you represent a business that has a B2B marketing project or role that you'd like to ask for help in filling from the community on this call, drop some details in the questions box and I'll mention it at the end of this webinar. Please also flag in the questions box if you'd like to be a speaker at a future COVID webinar, write about this one, or find out more about the BMC, and I'll be in touch. You can tweet along to today's webinar using the hashtag B2B Lockdown. That's B2B Lockdown. So it's time for our speakers, and our first speaker today is Adam Morgan, who is Executive Creative Director at Adobe, keynote speaker on creative leadership, author of the brilliant and highly recommended Sorry Spock, Emotion Drives Business, story writer at adamwmorgan.com, and he's also presenter of one of my favourite podcasts at the moment on creative leadership. Adam joins us today from Utah, and thank you so much for coming and joining us today, Adam, and over to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show, Dave. So you want me just to launch right into response? All right. So the question of the day is, how are we responding to COVID? And I'm going to definitely give you a perspective from a creative leadership point of view. The things that I'm dealing with or top of mind are things like storytelling and the voice, the messaging that we as a company put out. Video and how we're having to adjust with that, and also events. Like, those are the three big areas, but I want to focus mostly on the first part, which is the messaging. And this is my opinion, but this thing has happened so quickly. It's only been a few months that we've all been dealing with it. And the trend that I've noticed is a lot of companies, and mine included, the knee-jerk reaction with messaging is to quickly flip, because topics like this are really, really trending, right? And so the pressure that I get internally is everything we need to do needs to talk about COVID, 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 right? And I think what I'm finding is that, again, all I can speak to is just my personal experience. All I can speak to is lessons learned, things that we're trying, things that we're attempting to do with our storytelling. And right off the that, I think one of the pieces of advice I would give is that you should not change your entire messaging structure to just become a COVID story. If we look out on TV, every commercial is the exact same thing. Like there's even parody commercials saying we're all saying the same thing. And every company is trying to say, here's how you have business resiliency in the midst of the pandemic. I feel like that's a good flavor, that's a tone, but at least from my perspective, I've been pushing hard to say, here is our core messaging. This is what we need to talk about. This is the benefit that our business gives you. And then I can go back and say, and here's that in light of COVID and how it changes that message. And it's a tone, but it's not completely changing the message. Whereas there are many, many people internally or even externally in other companies that completely change their message to business resiliency. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if all of us in 2 months have become experts on business resiliency. I think some may have, but I don't think that that's the right answer for most companies. So I'd say in your campaigns, don't just switch over to becoming an expert about business resiliency. Use business resiliency as a flavor or a tone to overlay your message. For example, with Adobe, our message is all about creating great experiences, becoming an experienced business, all about customer experience and digitizing and going digital, right? So we can definitely say our main story is go digital, transformation or digital transformation is important, and in no other time more so than this. Like that's where we add in the COVID message, because right now it's as important as ever, right? But that doesn't change our message of becoming an experienced business. So that's the biggest thing that I'm dealing with, is message and tone and how you're dealing with your company voice. And I would say, don't be a chameleon, don't change for everything. Just make sure you give it a nice tone and stick to your roots, stick to whatever your core message is, and don't just flip-flop, because then you have zero differentiation.
Adam, thank you very much for that. If anybody has got questions for Adam, and how can you not, start your question with Adam's name, and we'll try and put those questions to him at the end of this. Hashtag B2B lockdown if you want to talk about us on Twitter. Our second speaker is marketing consultant Luann Wise. Luann works directly with LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, and regularly trains on social media topics. She'll be covering some social media do's and don'ts with us during this session. So Luann, thanks for joining us, and over to you. You need to put your microphone on, though. That's definitely back. A do.
Yes, thank you, Dave. I'm a consultant, and I have a mix to my work, consultancy with clients, training, and writing as well. And I've been working from home for over 10 years, even though, I do go out, I'm on client site, I'm in classrooms. So within the lockdown, life hasn't changed too much in one sense, although it does feel very different, more so because the working patterns of everyone that I'm speaking to has changed, and they've had to adapt to the way that I'm kind of used to working. So I feel very lucky in the sense that I'm set up with a home office. I had all the tech, I've got webcams, I've got selfie lights, I've got all the stuff that I needed that everyone else had to adapt to very quickly. So that wasn't too significant, but actually the biggest change for me was that I was actually out of the country when the lockdown was about to happen. I had traveled to the States because I was due to attend South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. They canceled it a few days before, but I kind of considered that I had the time booked off and I had the flights booked, so I was going to travel anyway. Decided that actually not to spend the 10 days in Austin and go to Miami Beach, as you would. And I was, I was fine with that. I was on the beach, but I was able to watch the messages coming out of both the US and the UK at the same time, which was really interesting as it was starting to happen. Friends, peers were kind of sending me messages being quite worried, saying you have to get home. And I was like, no, I'm on a beach, I'm all right, it's going to be okay. Until kind of British Airways did step in and fly us home early. So I missed that very initial first part of the panic. But even though when I'm working away, as a consultant, you can work from anywhere, I was able to watch what was going on from afar. And social media is a great way to kind of watch and see what people are worried about and what they're thinking about. as the news source. And for me, you know, that's 2 months ago now, so it's still quite a while, but it feels like each week has had a very different vibe to it. And we kind of change how we feel about it, how we deal with it, how we're working week on week. You know, initially it felt like we're all now at home and we're just switching everything to work from home and Zoom. Bit of panic, but just switch what we're doing. And then as we tried to kind of resume life as normal from a different desk, perhaps, then people were starting to look a bit further forward, maybe cancelling some things, maybe changing dates, as you know, depending on how people were working and the other priorities that they had in their business, whether that was their teams or their own clients and the ways that they needed to work. For me, in my training work, yes, some switched to Zoom. There's been some additional training where people have perhaps been thinking about having that training for LinkedIn, social selling, how to use it, but it hadn't been a priority. It suddenly became a priority because salespeople, business development couldn't go out networking, couldn't go out doing face-to-face, and suddenly realized that this is what they needed to be doing. So a bit reactive, but better late than never. And you know, adjusting quite quickly to doing that. Observing social media and what businesses were doing was very interesting. Adam was picking up on tone of voice. At the beginning, there was some people that just carried on with their scheduled content, didn't change anything. I don't think that was the right thing to do. I think that there needed to be an immediate review of things scheduled. You could tell if it had been scheduled. People needed to tweak things to, as Adam said, kind of overlay it and acknowledge what was going on. So we either didn't see that at all, or we saw it to the other extreme of, yeah, the work from home experts, unprecedented appearing in everything, which we're getting a little bit bored of now. So I think, you know, the assessment has to become week by week, day by day. And as people started to adjust in their social media content, I know people that are reviewing with their clients once a week alongside the big press briefings or the daily press briefings. I'm a big advocate of scheduling when the time is right and it's core messaging, but that absolutely needed to be switched off and reviewed. I myself have some core content that's scheduled, but it didn't feel right to have a core message going, here's how to write a Twitter list. It needed to be, if you're trying to do more listening, Twitter lists might be really helpful right now. So I also switched things off, and I found that I had still aligned with my core messages, but so much new content to share as well from Enterprise Nation, who I work with, from Facebook, from LinkedIn, what they were doing, how they were supporting businesses. And one of the first things I was asked to do as an ambassador for IPSE, which is the Association for Independent Professionals and the Self-Employed, was to put together a webinar on how to adapt social media in times of uncertainty. And I certainly wasn't an expert on that at the time, but I read around it, I sat and thought about it, and actually putting that webinar together for an audience really helped me and my business, and kind of thinking of myself as a business owner, as well as a marketer as well. And as I put it together, there was tips in there from stop your scheduling, change your tone of voice, but also about increasing your visibility as well. We can't go out, but more so now than ever, people need to know that we're there, that we're available, that we're still working, or if things have changed. So for me, being visible consistently has always been important, but now more than ever. And I had to take my own advice on that. So, you know, part of consultant, but part business owner, was taking my own advice, reaching out to my network, being more visible. I now do weekly posts on my own Facebook of a photo. This is what I've been doing. This is what I've been working on. I also wrote a blog on how I've adapted my business. Going behind the scenes is also important, but I think what's happening right now, and mainly because of Zoom and what, you know, we're all seeing into each other's homes. So we've come a bit more open and honest when we're asking people how they are right now, rather than just a hope you're well. You know, we are genuinely interested and concerned that people are okay and how they're dealing with it. And I think it's it's that connecting thing that social media and online does, but that's been really important to make sure that we're sharing it as well. So for me, B2B is always about content, but I think right now it's being more human and sharing that and showing that you're in the same boat with people. Things are shifting, as I said, kind of week by week. There's five, I think, as scheduled content had kind of gone and been posted and tweaked. We are now seeing content that has been written for in the moment. I know that content teams that I work with are now writing week by week or by fortnight rather than 4 months or six weeks ahead. So it is much more about staying agile right now and reviewing things as we go, and being able to listen to that vibe on social media is really, really important. Adam did briefly mention events, and that was the last thing I was going to talk about, is that as a consultant, as a trainer, events are a huge part of my business. It's how I meet people. It's what I can talk about, because I can't always talk about my client work. It's my content. It's my consultancy pipeline. So online is great. It's not easier to deliver. We can see each other as speakers, but we can't see the lots of other people that we can just see a number in the top of our screen. We don't know whether they're smiling or nodding with us. So it can be harder to deliver, but actually it's more scalable. And when we had a conversation about this, Dave, I've done a BMC event before in Bristol a while ago, but for me, that's a 3-hour round trip as well as the event time. Whereas this, it's some prep. I didn't need to leave home. I logged on 15 minutes before we started and I'll be finished and don't have a 2-3 hour journey back. So I think as we get used to taking part in webinars and watching webinars, I don't think that's going to go. I think that kind of learning and engagement and connecting with people is going to stay. And what I have found from the more events I've done online over the last few weeks, more people are attending, they're registering, they're watching them afterwards, but they are also sending messages to each other and the speakers and connecting. So I kind of feel that we're doing a lot of the things that we always knew we should do around everything. We're just making everything work so much harder because we have to now.
Luanne, thank you very much. If you've got any questions for Luanne, start your question with Luanne and put it into the questions box, and we'll get those questions or comments to her at the end of hearing from our speakers. If you've got any questions for Adam, please don't start your question with Luanne, start your question with Adam, and we'll be able to get those points to him as well. Hashtag B2B lockdown if you want to use Twitter and social media as we go through the webinar today. Before our third speaker, it's time to get your views now with our first poll that can be accessed by anyone taking part in this webinar on a computer. This one's about the long and short of it, literally. What is the mix of effort that your business has put into brand building versus sales activation since the crisis? And please indicate which proportion comes closest to the truth. Are you spending 100% of your business's effort on brand building? Is it a 75-25 mix in favour of brand building? A 50-50, a 75-25 mix in favour of sales activation? Or are we looking at 100% sales activation? And we'll give you a moment or two to select an answer. So I can see that about 60% of you have voted. Let's keep going for another 10 seconds or so. Okay, and let's cut it there and have a look at the results. So you can see that 29% of you are saying that your big focus is on brand building versus sales activation. 24% of you see it as a 50-50 mix. 20% of you are much more focused on sales activation right now. And there are some really surprising, for me at least, 100% figures in there. So 100% effort on brand building, according to 15% of you, 100% effort on sales activation, according to a further 12% of you. That might be food for thought, perhaps, for our third speaker today, who you can't see online, despite the best efforts of her teenage children who are with her right now. Heather Heathner is an on-demand workshop facilitator, and she travels around the US teaching businesses how to tell their story. She's an adjunct faculty member at the University of Minnesota, where she teaches communication skills, storytelling techniques, and design methodology to graduate students. So Heather, I hope you can hear us.
I can. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Welcome to the webinar, and over to you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. And Adam and Luann, I really enjoyed what you had to say. And for everyone out there, I'm sorry you can't see me. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. And yes, my teenagers gave it their best shot. I wanted to approach these questions from two different angles. The two questions I'd like to answer regarding B2B marketing are, what is changing in marketing messaging? And the second is, how are we seeing the future differently as marketers? And as Dave said, I come to this from an angle of both presenting workshops for businesses around the world on storytelling. And Adam, I've been to Adobe. Although I haven't met you, so now I am. and also as a faculty member at the University of Minnesota. And thirdly, I run a small studio where we help leaders communicate with empathy in their internal communication. So that's not B2B, but as a small business, I am marketing to those businesses. So I'm going to approach this with three angles. So the first question is, what is changing in the marketing messaging? And when I was thinking about this, I realized, wow, what I'm seeing change both from my own business, which is very small, and the very large corporations I work with Dart Studio, they're billion-dollar companies, and my workshop people, which range from huge companies like yours, Adam, Adobe, to smaller companies, like some smaller colleges. What I'm seeing across the board is a focus on empathy and authenticity. And I am so grateful for that. For example, at Dart Studio, we have this huge contract with a large manufacturing firm. They bring in $1 billion a year selling products. And what I decided to do is really stop and listen to my client and understand what he needed and put on that empathetic ear and meet him where he was at. And we realized that I could help him with the skill sets that I bring in a different way. So it's kind of what you were saying, Adam, where we don't want to change who we are. We have our core skill sets as individuals or companies, and how can we pivot and change to serve our clients? That manufacturing company that is my client, I've been watching them do the same thing. So they are reaching out to their current business customers and asking them what they truly need, who they truly are, where can they meet them where they're at, both in terms of need and financials. And they're adjusting in the moment to meet their client needs. They're also adjusting their marketing messages. So they're not going out and selling. The whole point right now is not making the deal. The point is client retention and keeping their name out there. So this particular manufacturing company, Luann, you mentioned people are creating content in the moment. That's exactly what they do. They're doing. They're just creating a video that's about gratitude. It's not sales at all. That's not the point. The point is to be grateful. And that goes back to that place of authenticity and empathy, I think. So I see a real shift in our humanity So maybe that's a Pollyanna way of looking at it, but I guess I don't mind. I mean, there's not to say that's not hard, it's super hard on all sorts of levels, but I'm seeing people really try to connect. The second question, the final question I want to address is, how do I see B2B looking differently in the future? And what I'm noticing from all the angles I come at this is that what people are trying to do is predict the future the best they can, know that it's changing, and use their core skill sets that they already bring to the table and pivot. So for example, one of my clients is Häagen-Dazs ice cream shops, and they're realizing that they need to pivot and start to the little shops, the franchisee shops, you know, that we all love to go to, we all love to get our ice cream. They're pivoting to do more online, and that's important to them. They don't want to, we all love the experience of going into an ice cream parlor and having this lovely ice cream. But for the future, that's going to be an important market. So how do they start thinking about that differently? Same for that large manufacturing firm. They're thinking about how to market differently, but still keeping their core messaging, their core values, the core of what they do, but how do they market it differently? We're doing the same thing at Dart Studio. We're noticing with the students that we work with and the clients we work with, what they're deeply hungry for is communication methods and how to communicate authentically with each other. So I have a woman I'm co-authoring a book with. Her name is Molly O'Connor, and we're writing a book on unproductive communication cycles in the workplace, in business, and how to shift to productive communication cycles. So we're just, for the theme of all these is that we are finding ways, places our clients are not being served, we're pivoting, still using our core set of the skill sets that we bring. So to wrap it up, I see all these changes with COVID and B2B marketing. I'm actually encouraged, even though the sales are horrible. I mean, they're really horrible and we're all suffering financially, but I'm encouraged from a humanitarian perspective. And what I see people doing right now that are successful are people are listening. They're asking questions to truly understand their client's problem. They're being servants, and they're looking for opportunities to pivot and grow. Okay, so with that, I will hand it back to you, Dave.
Heather, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for that. I'm sure people will be asking you about unproductive communication cycles after this. If not, they should be. If you've got any questions for Heather, start your question with Heather and ping it over to us in the questions box. Similarly, we're looking for questions for Luanne and also questions for Adam as well. So please do fire them over when you get a chance. Hashtag B2B lockdown if you're tweeting along with us. But it's time now for our second poll. This time we're asking you to check all of the answers that apply. So there isn't just one answer, just tick as many as are relevant to you. And the question is, how has your organization used social media during the crisis? And the options are that you've increased your use of enterprise social media channels like Yammer for internal comms. You've increased your use of broadcast social media for an external audience. You've increased your use of social media for interaction with external audiences. There hasn't been any change. Or even you've decreased your use of social media overall. Please do tick or check the boxes that apply, and we'll give you a moment or two to work through that. Whilst we're waiting, don't forget questions to any of our speakers that we can pass on at the end of hearing from all four of them. 10 seconds more. And let's close it there. So this is where you can see the results. 43% of you are seeing an increase in social media for interaction with external audiences. Your 40%, pretty much close to that, are looking at broadcast social media as well, with 26% seeing increased use of enterprise social media internally, 23% no change, 20% seeing a decrease in social media overall. I have to say that that's kind of slightly higher than I would have expected to see. But hopefully that will be food for thought for our fourth speaker. Mark Saxby is director at Status Social, one of the UK's first specialist social media agencies. Mark, thanks so much for joining us, and over to you.
So thanks for having me, Dave. It's great to be here today. So I'll just tell you, I suppose, to start off with our coronavirus story. So we'd actually spent the a few months before kind of preparing for Brexit and thinking, okay, how do we need to take things online and what do we need to do here? And then suddenly Corona crept up and we weren't quite ready for Brexit because it was a bit further off, but at least we were in a kind of a mindset of that we knew that online stuff would happen for us.
You'd lost a bit, Mark.
So can you hear me now, okay?
Yeah, that's great.
So we lost about 50% of our turnover in the first 2-3 weeks of coronavirus, mostly from we manage social media accounts for some of our clients, and it was a lot of manufacturers, office supplies, people in sports equipment just decided to cut what they were doing. Construction as well was another area where people decided to cut down on their social media, and understandably, really, there was a lot of panicking going on. We also saw a drop in our online training. So we did social media online, in social media training rather, not online training, but normal social media training. That was all postponed as well. So it was a bit of a, you know, 2 weeks of what on earth is going on here? How are we going to survive? What are we going to do? And our first reaction was actually, we need to increase our marketing. So we are ready to put out about 300 pieces of content every day on social media across our various channels, and we just increased it. We thought, well, actually, if we're going to go into a crisis here, we need to make sure that everyone knows we're around, everyone knows we still exist, and that when this either ends or settles down or whatever's to come, that we're going to be at the forefront of everyone's minds, and that we expect our competitors to start disappearing, and therefore then why we need to be out there. So we wrote blogs focused on our target audiences. What we did, we looked at the areas where we thought industries would benefit with coronavirus, you know, those that would flourish during this time. We wrote blogs about them. We started focusing on them, targeting them on LinkedIn, their individuals, the individuals, the decision makers and their businesses. And we started doing the same thing on Twitter as well, finding the decision makers in businesses and started tweeting them individually as well. So very much a social campaign rather than being about putting out lots of content saying, aren't we wonderful, aren't we wonderful, which we've never really done anyway. It's interesting, the whole thing about being authentic. We've always tried to be authentic on everything we've done for the past 9 years. So did a lot about that. So we focused on the gardening sector and the finance sector, DIY sector, and it was an interesting start, but we still had not a single lead for 2 weeks, which was, wow, where on earth do we go? 2 weeks with no leads. We've never had that, 2 weeks with no leads. And then suddenly a gardening company came through. That came through networking, because there was still online networking going on. And a gardening company came through, an international one. They signed up. That was great. Social media advertising, nice, easy, focus on the audience, get people to buy online. They saw a big upsurge. So that was really exciting. Kind of seeing the bit of the start of the shoots of recovery for us. We started increasing our communications with our current clients because there was definitely a nervousness with them. So talking to them a lot more, reassuring them, having to convince some of them to stay with us when they could have actually stopped working with us. What we saw suddenly after this 2 weeks of nothing, we suddenly had 16 leads for our agency in 1 week alone, which was the record. We'd never had that in 9 years, to get 16 leads in 1 week. And we thought, well, how on earth can that happen? How can we go from zero to 16 in the biggest crisis this country has ever known? It just seemed bizarre. But what we recognized was that because we'd had not only this increased marketing during the start of the coronavirus, we'd actually been consistent for the previous 9 years of doing social media and of being out there and having good email and all the stuff that's good marketing. So therefore then it was just a natural occurrence that when the pause came and people started feeling more confident, or they got over that first couple of weeks of shock, which to be honest, we went through as well as a business, they then started thinking, actually, what do we need to do? Do we need to start pushing out? And what was interesting as well was the speed of conversion. So we'd had a good example here is that we found people who owned financial practices across the UK on Twitter, and we then started approaching them one by one, having a conversation with them. One of the guys, a company down in London, asked for a meeting over Zoom. We had a meeting over Zoom, probably about 3 days later. In that meeting, he said, yes, please, I'll have a proposal. Sent a proposal. I arranged another Zoom meeting with him about 3 or 4 days later. In that Zoom meeting, he said, yes, please, I'd like to go ahead. Met with the team. He starts the next Monday. Now, for me, that's really, really fast as a conversion. And I think the great thing is, and this is where I think one of the real positive things has come out of this, has been the fact that we've become so much more familiar with using Zoom and things like that. So therefore, then I could build rapport with him. And generally, if I'd have had to go down to London, because our agency is based in the middle of the UK in Derby, to go down to London would be such a massive hassle. And generally, you wouldn't have enough time to build a rapport, and it would come to very little. But now we can convert somebody in such a quick time. So for me, that was really, really exciting. So I think for the future, I think Zoom is a real game changer. I think from a social media point of view, it's interesting how a lot of companies have just fallen away, because I know it's, you know, Luan's right in some degrees that it's better late than never for people to come to the social media journey. But actually, some companies, it is too late, and they've left it too late, and they won't be able to recover, because building brand does not take 2 weeks. Building brand takes months, it takes years. And therefore, then you've got to keep on going. And the positive messages that Adam mentioned, and that we've been doing the same thing, it's just positive. We've hardly talked about coronavirus. It's all been about how what we're doing and the what with benefit we're doing. And when we are talking about coronavirus, it's being doing things that are helpful to the community. And from that reason alone, I think it just means that we've had this boost, which has really helped us. And I would just say that, you know, my final bit would be that even if you're not really ready on social media now, and you've not really been doing it properly, and I think that's the key term, properly, not messing around with it, but doing it properly with a particular strategy and tactics, and you know what you're doing, you're trying to get sales, you're trying to raise your brand, that actually this crisis could go on for ages and actually could dip and then come back again. So don't think, I'm not going to do anything about social media now, it's too late. Actually start building, and hopefully in 6 months or a year, you might be ready to tackle the next crisis, whatever that might be.
Mark, that's almost a downbeat way of ending that. The next crisis is just round the corner. If you've got, thank you very much for that. If you've got any questions for Mark, please do. It looks like some of you are already. Send them over to us and put them in the questions box. Also, we'd welcome questions for Adam, for Luan, for Heather, all brilliant speakers. So please do come back and challenge them, and we'll get to questions in just a moment. After our final poll. This one asks about the internal communications within your business. How have your interactions with other people in your business changed since the crisis? And there are a number of options. You can only pick one this time. Has there been an increase in the number of interactions that you've had with your team? An increase in the number of interactions you've had with the wider business? No change at all? Or a decrease in either the number of interactions you've had with your team or with the wider business? And obviously, if you are a one person band, then I probably ask you not to vote in this one. This is for businesses of more than one employee, I think. So whilst we're waiting for people to vote, don't forget to send your questions through to our speakers, because we'll be coming to those right after this. So another 10 seconds more, and then we'll shut the poll. Cool, let's stop it there and see how you voted. So 36% of you were seeing an increase in number of interactions, not just within your team, but across the wider business since the crisis. And also encouragingly, 32% seeing an increase in the number of interactions within your team. No change at all for 18% of you. And then 11% seeing a decrease in the number of interactions with the wider business, and 4% decrease in the number of interactions with your team. So in terms of numbers, really interesting to see how generally interactions across your business right now seem to have increased. You might want to comment on that in the questions to our speakers that we want to jump to right now. And the first question is for Adam, and it's a question that comes from Nick Eads. And Adam, Nick says that he understands your points, but at what point do you think that talking about COVID will be something that we can stop talking about so centrally?
So in other words, I need to predict when this is going to end, which is super easy. I can do that no problem.
Marvelous.
Yeah. No, I think it's just like normal communication. I mean, when I've been doing this for 2.5 decades, and you know, certainly often we get tired of our own messages internally long before our audience gets tired of it. But in this case, because it's the same message for every company, for the whole world, you know, it's a different story. And I would say I definitely, like Luann, you were talking about like your experience through this whole wave of things. Certainly in the beginning, yeah, there was a lot of chatter, and it was appropriate chatter, and it was great to be, you know, authentic and caring. And I love the humanity that's come back that Heather brought up. But, you know, it's been several months, and just like any ad message, after a while, you get tired of it. That's why, you know, creatively, you need to spice things up. So I would say, you know, one thing that I've noticed is I just can't use the phrase in times of uncertainty anymore. I just can't use that phrase anymore. I have to find new ways to say that and new ways to, you know, write about it. So to answer the original question, who knows when this is going to end? You know, there are predictions all over the place, and I'm not going to join in whether it's going to be a month or a year or 2 years, whatever. I know it's affected us, and there are things that will stay permanently, and there are things that will go away for sure. So what I hope stays is the humanity. What I hope stays is all the authenticity. Some things even in our company, Adobe, that I'm seeing change are just like our perspective on work from home or our perspective on remote workplaces, right? It used to be we'd only want a small percentage of it, and now it's like, no, maybe a large percent will be that. So there are some things that will stay, but the message will change. Eventually we'll get back to, you know, some sort of normality, but we'll still have a flavor. That's what I like to see. Like, this whole thing is just, it's a tone. It's just an overlay onto everything we're going to talk about. If it's an overlay of empathy or an overlay of caring, that's awesome. But eventually we'll tire of it. I think we're already hitting that tired note where a lot of people are just like, okay, what else have you got? What else have you got? We're kind of done with that. So I don't have a good answer, but I know I'll keep going along in the journey and hope that we get back to a better balance.
So the chances of us being able to put on social media when Adam Morgan from Adobe is declaring an end to the crisis, we'll have to try again some other time. Thanks for that, Adam. To Luann now, and a question from Jack Hardy. And Jack was looking at the poll results and is interested in understanding whether the results of the second poll on social media was a kind of set of results that you expected to see, Luann. So to kind of help you, the second poll was around how has your organization used social media during the crisis? The kind of, I guess the key number of people, 43% of people were saying an increased use of social media for interaction with external audiences was something that they'd seen from the crisis overall. But 20% of people were saying that they decreased their use of social media overall.
Yeah, I think as much as I talked earlier about kind of staying visible and, you know, this consistency thing, I think some of the content, which is also really important, depends on your industry. So there has been some industries through this, as Mark was saying, that are thriving, that are increasingly busy, have had a lot to say. For example, law firms have had lots of content around employment law and what's happened, accountants around helping people with applications and loans and furloughing. So they've potentially had more content to be talking about than they normally would, which, you know, has positives and negatives as well. You know, there has been more for them to say around this. But I think there's also been other sectors and, you know, people that can't work from home. Construction, for example, that perhaps until today had almost stopped. You know, what could those construction businesses be talking about? Yes, they needed to do some low-level visibility, but they couldn't be talking about, oh, we're out on this site today and this is what we're doing and, you know, we're digging our first holes and those kind of things. So I think where it's increased or decreased has probably been sector specific, depending on what's going on in the organisation. I do know that, again, depending on the business, many marketers are furloughed right now and therefore can't be posting on behalf of their organisation. You know, that has perhaps been a business decision that they've had to stop that function happening, and probably depends on sector as well. So I can see why we've probably got some more where there has been more to say, and perhaps some others where they haven't got the resources to say, or they're just, there's only so many times you can say in these times of uncertainty, we're all working from home and we've got Zoom fatigue, etc. But I just wanted to add one more thing to the first question, if I can, because what we have talked about in terms of content is about the words that we're using. But I think what's also, you know, social media is very much about visual content as well, and adapting that, the imagery we're using. You know, we know that people are now doing Zoom shots on everything. I've just liked what Jay's posted. We are more conscious now if we see shots and we're kind of looking at them going, oh, they're not socially distant. You're watching TV programs where there's crowds going, oh, that feels a bit abnormal now. So it's not just about the words that we use. I think it's got to be very much about the imagery that we're using in our comms as well.
Very good. Thanks, Luanne. Question for Heather from Nick Eads. Heather, Nick asks, how do you suggest we balance the need to drive business with an unproductive comms cycle? So how do you suggest we balance the need to drive business with an unproductive comms cycle?
Well, that's an excellent question. And quite frankly, it's really hard to do anything with an unproductive communication cycle. The way I see the unproductive communication cycle is when we speak from a place of anger or sorrow or fear, that hits the next person and they respond in like manner. And so if I am trying to do business, with, say, you, Luan, and I'm speaking from fear, if I don't get that under control, I speak to you. I'm either angry with you, or I try to appease you, or I flee from you, and then you receive that, Luan. So then how do you respond? And so it's very challenging to be productive from a business perspective when you don't have healthy communication. So the way that you can stop that yourself is, let's say I come to you, Adam, and I'm speaking out of anger. You can be mature about it and do your exercise, like, you know, box breathe or calm down and realize it's not about you, it's about me, and then go on with, you know, a business question as normal. So it's about us as individuals to stop something that's coming at us that's not helpful for communication, and then ask the question that needs to be asked in order to go on with business. So it's a very short answer to a complicated question.
Thank you. Thanks, yeah. Heather. Well answered. Couple of observational questions now. So the first one's from Mark. And Eunice Malik asks that, so Eunice has looked at your background, Mark, as in the background directly behind you, and says that you have a board saying social with results. What does that mean? Is it actual sales, or do you offer accountability on budget spend? Be careful how you answer this, because there's a potential lead in it by the looks of it.
So it's about results. So it depends what the client wants. If a client says, right, we say to a client, what's a potential client, what's your business objectives? And they might say, right, we want to get leads. So we try and get them leads. They want to raise their brand awareness. We say, well, how much brand awareness? Well, let's raise your brand awareness. They want to improve their customer service. Well, let's do NPS scores. It's just, I think that's the whole thing about social media where so many businesses get it wrong, is that they do it because they feel they ought to be doing it and they don't measure the results. And how frustrating it is. You know, we and our clients have generated £2.3 million in sales through social media so far. And the only reason we know that is because we've measured it. And that is really exciting. And that makes my job much more worthwhile when I see the difference we can make to our clients. And the thrill I get from them having success on social media is more than the thrill I get from winning a new client.
Cool. Thank you very well answered. And obviously, Eunice, I can connect you with Mark afterwards if you want to follow up. Next question, also an observational one for Adam. And who can't have noticed and been impressed by Adam's book collection? Josh Corcoran has and asks, what are your recommendations for quarantine reading?
Oh, that's a good question. Depends on the genre you love. I assume we're all talking B2B marketing, though.
Oh, definitely.
Of course, right? Of course. Well, let's see. This one right here is a really good one. Stillness is the Key. It's actually an interesting book all about taking a moment to pause, taking a moment to think things through, and just, you know, finding kind of your center. I actually started it right when the whole crisis came, because I'm like, okay, I need to just chill out. You know, we're used to a fast-paced work environment and everything's going crazy with this whole crisis. So that one would be awesome. Ryan Halliday is the author. Just a really good, you know, it goes back into philosophers from, you know, ancient times and how they found kind of some inner peace. So that's been a really cool, good one for me.
And Adam's book on emotion in marketing is well worth a read as well.
That one's way up there. There we go.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam. And let's go to a question that I'm going to put to Luan, although it was kind of offered more generally. It comes from Megan Smales. Megan says, how would you approach a client who takes longer to convert during COVID-19? Megan wants to be empathetic and not pushy, but says it's difficult to get a good balance.
I think it's always a challenge, isn't it? And I think the challenge when businesses are impacted, like we're all impacted right now, and perhaps you're a little bit quieter and you kind of, you know, you're looking for more work, sometimes you can come across with that sense in mind. And I think it's always actually really important to not come across with that, I really need this and I've really got an empty diary next to it, you know, because it just shows. And I think one of the words that we've used today is confidence. So I think it's about showing confidence and just kind of waiting until the time is right. But it's about, you know, Mark, you may want to add to this afterwards, because you talked about conversion rates and how it's sped up, but it's about keeping in touch with people, checking in with them. We're doing a lunchtime session on social selling, which is kind of selling without selling and building the relationships. And I think if you've got some really strong, big opportunities out there right now, I'll go back to my kind of content is king comment. And, you know, you create content that's really going to resonate with them, so that if they're watching what you're doing, got their eye on you, you're putting out content that is exactly what they're looking for, so that you can kind of help convince them. So it's a bit more kind of gentle nudging along, but just showing relevance to them as well.
Thanks very much, Luan. Mark, well, you can add to that in a moment, but I want to go to Heather first of all with a question from Robert Norum. And Heather Roberts says that he loved your point of view on the need for authenticity and empathy in the current crisis. But he wonders what your perspective is on whether brands should be refocusing or redefining their core purpose and what the real value they deliver to their employees, their customers, and their prospects, and more importantly, to the wider world as a whole. Is it time for brands to refocus?
Wow, that's a deep question.
And if you can answer it in about 30 to 60 seconds, that would be great.
Yeah, okay. I love that question, Robert, thank you. And what I believe is it's a great time for brands to look at their core purpose. I agree with Adam that it's not a time to shift a core purpose because you are existing for a reason. But could you get deeper into that core purpose? Could you mold it? Could you look at your audience and think, how can I actually bring better value to them with what I'm already doing or what our company is already doing? So, because a lot of people do have more time, not everybody, but a lot of people have more time, there's more time for this more contemplative thought. So maybe the book Adam recommended to all of us is great right now. So I would say yes to that question in terms of looking deeper, but not to shift your core purpose. That would be my short answer.
That was a very good short answer. We'll have you back.
Thank you,
Heather. A final question for Mark, which comes from Gigi Vashilava. And Gigi says, what would be the three crucial steps that a company should take towards implementing a social media mindset when it never paid any attention to before?
Wow, what a question.
Three steps.
I think the first step is to actually research and work out and find out that it actually works. Because I think a lot of people, a lot of businesses, the reason why they don't do social media is because they've played with it or they've used somebody who's not really a social media expert to do their social media. They've wasted their time and therefore then they've given up. So I think actually having the evidence and talking to the right people is the first key thing. The second thing I think is really understanding your audience and knowing where they are and how they tick. So one of the things that I talk about with Say to Social is I don't say we're a social media agency. I say we're a people agency that understands social media. So we use the social media to get to people. And I think that is a really crucial element. And the third thing is I just think they need to come and talk to me. I have no third answer. Sorry.
That's disappointing. Thank you very much for that. And that's it. And thanks to our four brilliant speakers, to Adam Morgan, to Luann Wise, to Heather Heefner, to Mark Saxby. Thanks to our brilliant backroom team of Louise Neal, Claire Sheriff, Josh Bench and Jay Neal. And thank you to you for participating. Next Wednesday at 16:30 BST, we've got head of marketing at BT Enterprise, Lisa Daniels, the marketing director at Dennis Publishing's demand generation business, John Webb, B2B marketing coach, Charlie Wyman, and managing director of Smart Marketing Reports, Vernon Riley. You can sign up now at businessmarketingclub.org.uk/events. You can listen again to this webinar from tomorrow or listen to our weekly podcast. This week it's on demand generation, or you can join our upskilling series for furloughed marketers each Monday at 12:30 BST. This week it's all about social selling. Or you can join our flagship virtual event next Tuesday at midday BST, this time on sustainability on B2B marketing, or get yourself a mentor to help you through the crisis. Details of all of those things at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. You can contact me if you want at daystevensnow@gmail.com. Stay safe. Have a great evening. Thanks very much.